Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
There's a fine line between mothering and smothering.
My parents always told me, they said, this is the first time we've done this too, you know. There is no parenting manual.
Just for the record, Dad, you've never done anything for me. It's always been about you.
Life moves pretty fast. You don't stop and look around once in a while. You could miss it.
I'm Jim Burns. The power struggles between strong-willed children and their parents, that can be exhausting. But there is hope, and that's according to Dr. Kim Storm. As a clinical psychologist, he knew how to talk to parents about dealing with strong-willed children. But once he and his wife, Anne, had a strong-willed child of their own, they began to see these battles in a whole new light. During the next half hour, I'll talk with the Storms about how having a strong-willed child of their own has equipped them to offer help for parents of strong-willed children. So keep it right here on Homeward.
From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, graduating difference maker since 1899, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh. Today on the program, you're in for a real treat. Kim and Ann Storm are wonderful parents, and yet their son Taylor was kind of a pill. As a matter of fact, he interned for us at one point at Homeward, and well, he was a nice kid by then, but evidently when he was younger, he used to raise little Cain. Today on the Homeward broadcast, Kim is a therapist, and he's going to talk with Dr. Jim Burns, and Ann's in the studio too, offering help for parents of strong-willed children. If you have a strong-willed child at home, you're going to hear the Storms talking about Taylor and say, yep, been there, done that, bought the shirt. So we're so glad you're with us today. During the next half hour, we're going to talk about this, and later on in the program, we'll have some resources for you as well. And now with part one of the program, here's Jim Burns.
There is good news for parents of strong-willed children. Today we have with us Dr. Kim Storm and Ann Storm. They know the joys and, yes, the struggles of raising a strong-willed child themselves. Kim is a clinical psychologist and is a teacher who became a full-time mom and is raising her children and teaches a weekly women's Bible study. Thank you so much for joining us here on Homeward.
Thank you. It's fun to be here.
Well, it's great to be with you. We're going to talk about strong-willed children. Now, in my family, we have three strong-willed children, and we have a strong-willed dad and a strong-willed mom.
Wow.
So I'm looking for some personal help in this as well. You know, let's get right into it. When we talk about strong-willed children, you know, one of the central issues is in dealing with a strong-willed child can be best summed probably by two words, power struggle.
Mm-hmm.
And as the mother of a strong-willed child, can you remember a particular instance when you finally realized that, wow, you know what, this is the kind of relationship I have with my son?
Well, I think I saw it in the crib. I think he was about a year old and didn't want to go down for a nap. And I put him down and made him stay in there, even if he wasn't going to sleep. Pretty soon I could hear the whole side of the crib rattling and he'd get up and just shake it. I want out. And I thought, okay, we're in for a ride with this kid. And it just continued like that, to be very strong and a little oppositional at that time. Don't want to do this. But he was a big kid. And so it was, you know, I thought, okay, we need to get control of this.
Was that your experience also, Kim?
Well, yeah. You know, I think our first child was a girl and she was a little bit more subdued.
Yeah.
And Taylor just had a lot of energy.
Yeah.
I mean, this kid was, you know, he didn't want to go down for naps. He wanted to run and play and engage. And he was just a high contact kid. You know, he liked to run into you and smack you, and he was just a lot of fun. But on top of that, a lot of energy to contain. He demanded a response from people. You know, he needed that connection.
Yeah, interesting. Now, Kim, as a clinical psychologist, give us the perspective of the kind of battles that Ann and you were having to have with your son during that those early years.
Well, you know, I think it really was characterized by who's going to be in control. And Taylor had that sense that he came into the world knowing what he wanted and challenged both Ann and I, because I think we are both more laid-back type people. So he really needed some sort of interaction with us and would command the situation if he could and run away or challenge us or try to get his way all the time. So it was a challenge both as a parent, but also as a psychologist, because I've seen this in my office with other families. And here I had one of my very own. And he was, he had to be reckoned with. And early on, there were struggles, bedtime struggles, what he was going to eat struggles, really just staying safe struggles. I can remember when he would run away from me and, you know, I'd almost have to tackle him before he'd run into the street. And it would be a little bit embarrassing because this kid was just on the move.
Yeah.
And it was just really hard to keep up with him.
You know, they use the term strong-willed. Sometimes there's out of control.
Yes.
What's the difference between strong-willed and out of control?
Well, I think that out of control is when kids are dangerous and when parents are panicked about what to do with a child who seems to be almost oppositional. And so I would look at it kind of like a spectrum. There are kids who are perhaps stubborn, and then you have kids that not only are stubborn but mouthy, and then you have kids that are stubborn, mouthy, and they're going to do whatever they're going to do. And at times, I think you really have to evaluate the child and say, okay, where am I going to set the limits for this child?
And this whole idea of limits really is an important thing. You know, when facing one of these power struggle moments with a strong-willed child, is that the kind of advice that you would say to parents, you know, set some limits, go the distance?
What? Absolutely.
Well, you know, when you have a child that is so tenacious, you have to match them at that. And if they're going to go 4 hours in a power struggle, you've got to go 5.5 hours. Mm. Because if you give in before the 5 hours, you've just taught them they're going to get their way after 5 hours. Mm. And a strong-willed child will go the distance.
And so the strong-willed child, what you're saying is go past it.
You go
past
it.
It's 5 minutes,
a
half an hour, whatever.
Exactly.
You've got to win.
And it's exhausting, but you've got to, because all you've done is reinforce it. You hang in there, you'll beat mom out of this, you know, and you just can't because they're strong. You just have to be as strong as they are. And I think another thing with the power struggles is I think kids, they're so smart. And Kim has a great term. He said, don't let them hold you hostage. There are those situations when you're on the phone, you're in the supermarket or someplace.
Those are the places that would happen with our kids, sure.
Yeah, and they just wait because they think, mom's going to be too embarrassed to follow through. So follow through. We had a great example. Taylor was in second grade, had a wonderful teacher. I went in to help in the classroom. I took his reading group to another room where there were no teachers, and Taylor decided to act out and be funny. He's very funny. And I kept reminding him, I go, you need to stop this. So we went back in the classroom after the reading group, and the teacher, she was so great, Mrs. Koch, the kids had gone to recess. And so I looked at her, I go, you know what? I really don't want to come back because one of your students really made it hard for me. And she says, well, who would that be? And I said, Taylor Storm. Well, he looked at me, you ratted me out. I go, you turn around, I'm going to rat you out. I think they think at those times, you're not going to come clean with who they are because you're either embarrassed or it's inconvenient to leave the supermarket. And the teacher was great, and she sat down with us, and you know what, I was there the rest of the year. It never happened again. He thought he had me. He thought he was holding me hostage.
Yeah.
And he learned he couldn't hold me hostage.
Well, it takes so much emotional energy, sometimes even physical energy, to do this.
Yeah, it is physical.
And so what I find is that a lot of people say, okay, we're going to set these clear boundaries, and then they just get tired or they get worn out. Or
yeah.
I know of a single mom who said, you know what, I don't want to not be liked. Mm. I'm already not liked with my spouse, ex-spouse. And so they begin to give in. What I hear you saying is, no, stand the course.
And no, you're not going to be liked.
Yeah.
And that's, Kim has a great term, suspend your own needs. My need was for him to like me. Mm-hmm. And once I gave that up and Taylor knew I was giving that up, then I could win, you know, and it's the need to not be embarrassed in a supermarket. Give that up, leave the cart, go home, you know, whatever it takes.
Right.
You know?
We had an experience with our daughter, Rebecca, who is strong-willed, but then all of them are. And we were at this outdoor restaurant of actually some people who we knew were the owners. Mm. And so there we are sitting there, and he'd come over and said, hey, it's nice to have you, and how are you, and whatnot. And Rebecca did something, I can't remember what it was. And I said, now, Rebecca, if you do that again, then we're going to go into the car, and they're going to finish dinner without. And I'm thinking, I'm hungry. I want to finish this. She did it again. So Kathy looked at me, and I said, well, box up the meal. And so I have three daughters. So the two daughters and Kathy sat there and they ate, and I went into the car. It was really hot. Our window was rolled down, and Becca started going, you and mom are abusing me. And she's shouting it. I think she's about nine. And I'm getting more and more embarrassed. Thinking, you know, the police are now going to come. And so finally, I just got in the car and drove the car around as she's in the back, you know, screaming this, because I was truly embarrassed.
Yeah.
And I was mad and I was hungry. And you know what? She never did what she did at the dinner table again. And because she knew she was gonna get it, and you know, I was fortunate enough to not miss too many meals then.
They're smart.
They are.
They know what's gonna push our buttons.
Yeah. And you know what's interesting is there are times, and what do you do when in a strong will? I mean, sometimes they do just beat on you and you lose. You know, I know there are times when
you
know, because I have the same philosophy, it sounds so good.
Yeah.
But you know, the fact of the matter is I went, ah, you know, I made this decision. Then Kathy comes and checks in, and she says, well, why'd you do that?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm tired. I'm burnt out.
Yeah.
You know, what do you say to the person who says, you know what, I've been doing this wrong for a while?
Well, I think that there's plenty of chances in life to make it right. I think with oppositional or strong-willed children, their character will allow you over time to change. and maybe they'll expect you to be the same pushover type person. But I think over time you can interject different strategies, mm-hmm. and that, I think, you know, it isn't going to change overnight. Mm-hmm. This child is going to be this way for a while. So you have plenty of chances, and to be able to try different things and not to take the failure personally and to say to myself, oh gosh, I'm a terrible parent. No, all you need to be is a good enough parent. You don't have to be stellar. You don't have to be just perfect. You need to be a good enough parent for this child. And it's a learning process and a growing process between the two of you.
It's good counsel from Dr. Kim Storm here on the Homeward Broadcast. Today on the program, Dr. Jim Burns talking with Kim and his wife, Ann, about help for parents of strong-willed children, and they know that all too well. Kim's a therapist, and yet their son, Taylor, was a bit of a handful when he was younger. He's gone on to a very successful adult life. But right now, of course, we're talking about this issue for you. You might have a strong-willed child at home, and maybe you've lacked the confidence to deal with that situation once and for all. How about Dr. Jim Burns' book, Confident Parenting? I know from thousands of parents who've contacted us who are grateful for the fact that it's not a perfect existence that you have with your kid, of course, and no parent can be perfect, no child can be perfect, but if we as parents have confidence in the fact that God has entrusted these children to us to raise and that we can do the job he's calling us to do, the book Confident Parenting will instill that confidence in your life. You can order a copy of Confident Parenting exclusively from Homeward. When you do, a portion of the proceeds goes to supporting our ministry. For more information, go to HOMEWORD.com. We'll be right back.
If you want to see the face of God, just look in the eyes of a child. This is Jim Burns of Homeward with Real Life Answers. All throughout the Bible, you see Jesus talking about how his heart is reflected in the lives of kids. In fact, one of my favorite verses is when Jesus said, "When you welcome a child, you welcome me." At the same time, the few times you'll see Jesus angry in the Bible is either over hypocrisy or when it comes to wrongful treatment of children. I mean, Jesus also said, if anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him or her to be tossed into the ocean with a large millstone tied around their neck. If you're a parent, take these words to heart. God places tremendous value on the work you're doing with your kids. And if you're a single parent, as tiring as your life can be at times, hang in there because you're making a difference in the life of a child. Look into his eyes, and you'll see God's reflection. With Real Life Answers, I'm Jim Burns of Homeward. You're listening to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Today we're talking about good news for parents of strong-willed children. And I have a feeling that there are a number of people who are just sort of right now even pulling over in the car and saying, wait, this is my kid you're talking about. And it sure is some of my children. And I know it's been one of the joys of my life to have strong-willed children and also one of the biggest challenges. And it's been a challenge for Kathy and me as well in terms of how do we do this right. And I'm just so grateful for the fact that we have Dr. Kim Storm and his wonderful wife, Ann Storm, today helping us kind of in a personal way, helping us think through their relationship with their son, Taylor, but also helping us understand, you know, some great practical advice on what we can do and really give us some good news for us parents who have some strong-willed children. You know, and many experts have noted that there is a real key to maintaining a measure of control with strong-willed children when you give them clearly expressed expectations. How does this work with a kid who doesn't necessarily want to obey those clear directions?
Well, I think their favorite line, and we went through this, is you've laid them out, you know, they've disobeyed, and you come back and said, you remember the consequence? You never told me that. You never said that. And then you start to doubt yourself because they're so convincing. You never said that. I don't have to do this. So I thought, okay, I think we need a lawyer to draw up a contract, you know, or have him sign something. I thought, we do need almost to have something written down. Mm-hmm. Said, this is what you agreed to. These are the consequences. And I think even have them, when they're in a quiet mode, to help them come up with it. What do you think would be a good consequence for this behavior? So I think then there's a sense of ownership on their part.
I mean, children support what they create. So when you create a contract, and I know in terms of talking with parents, a lot of times the word is contract. I don't know if that's the word you use with a kid.
Yeah.
But if you actually have it written, and you have to keep it simple.
Yes.
You have to see some positive consequences and some negative
consequences. Yeah. And the negative, they don't remember.
No, of course not. That's why it's good to have it written down.
Yeah.
Did you do this with Taylor in terms of just writing out sometimes a contract?
Yeah, we did after a while, but in the beginning it was, you know, it was just like, you never said that. So we did write them down, and we had witnesses, you know. Yes. Kim and I said, we heard this, you know. So
put it in blood.
Put it in blood, exactly. Sure. We did say this.
Yeah. We found that actually even developing some basic contracts for our kids, and we put them on the refrigerator.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it was the kind of thing where ever so often we'd say, okay, come over here, you know, look at the refrigerator, you know, what are we doing here? And they'd kind of go, okay, well, we know.
Yeah.
But I also find that when kids are a part of creating it, then they really do support it. And what's fascinating for me is a lot of times strong-willed kids will say, you know, they'll say even more negative consequences than I would have.
Yeah, true, right. Yeah.
But, you know, then you've got them because it's, you know, it's written down. What's the, in terms of the process of positive consequences too, I mean, that must be an important part of it, of a contract as well.
You know, I think the best thing is to be able to catch your child doing something right.
Yeah.
Oftentimes, we often think defensively, but we don't think offensively, which is to say, okay, how can we look at our kid as someone who can do things right, encourage them to do things right, and to expect it, and not just assume they're going to be messing up? Catch them in doing something right, reinforce the heck out of it, and be able to tell them how it had an impact on the world around them.
Yeah, being really, really clear.
We used to say to children, you are too good a boy to act like this. You are too sweet. This does not match your character. Not to label him as a bad boy. He wasn't. And you know, the behavior did not match the boy, and just to still always reaffirm who he is inside.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, great insight. Give us an illustration of a clear expressed expectation, and then give us one that maybe isn't so clear, Kim.
Well, a good clear one would be, you know, most times you have difficult times during the day that especially a strong-willed child will challenge, and that's probably nighttime, you know, going to bed, which is something they don't want to do. And they want to keep their eyes open as long as possible.
Right.
And so getting them to go to bed and put clear expectations, I need to have you pick up your toys, put them away, go upstairs, brush your teeth, get ready for bed, and be in bed in 15 minutes. You've set the boundary, you've set the timeline, you've set your expectation, and you expect them to follow through with that. A less clear would be, now it's time to go to bed. You know, go to bed, Jimmy.
Yeah.
And you're begging him, you're pleading him, you're prodding him. But there's no direct follow through. This is what you need to do. These are the steps to get to bed.
Do you go on to say, and if you don't get to bed in 15 minutes, do you give a consequence right then, or do you do it a little later?
Well, I think that it depends on the child. I expect them to follow my requests immediately. And if you don't, I don't think that you have to threaten a child all the time. You have to follow through with what you want them to do. In other words, okay, we're going up. Maybe they need direction on how to make it up to the top of the stairs where the bathroom is.
Right, exactly.
I think you don't just sit in the, you know, the strato lounger. You get up and you follow through with them. No, we're going up to the bathroom. Because they'll lollygag and, you know, not follow through. You have to be as committed to the process, more committed than they are, and that they know that.
In a negative illustration, again, what you're saying is it's just not clear. It's not specific.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And within that gap of not being specific, a child will, you know, cut corners and not brush their teeth or, you know, not follow through and challenge you, which will only make you angry. And then most likely a parent will yell, which I don't find particularly helpful.
Right.
Because basically it's a cry of helplessness at this
point.
I really believe in action. And I believe this is not only true with children, but with small animals. But you have to follow through.
And there's a lot of similar similarities with small animals.
He does this with our dogs.
Right. Yeah,
because you have to say, I'm not going to tolerate you not doing something.
Right.
I'm going to follow through. And I'm not going to yell. I'm going to just do it.
Yeah, no, that's very good. And of course, I do better with our dog than I do with our children.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the dog's sometimes easier to do. You know, interesting enough, when we're talking about this and kind of laughing, but, you know, the fact of the matter is when we have a strong-willed child, it puts a lot of pressure on a marriage as well.
Yes.
And sometimes you're just simply not on the same page. There's been times in our marriage, actually, I should say sometimes, there are many times in our marriage, because Kathy and I grew up in two very different family systems, where I would go at it one way and she would go at it another way. Maybe both are right or both are wrong, but we didn't see eye to eye. And then we'd finally get, you know, our daughter up to bed, and hopefully she had brushed her teeth or something. And then we'd have to go have a powwow because we really weren't seeing eye to eye. You know, there was that whole idea of just, you know, how do you get on the same page when you're kind of really not on the same page?
Yeah.
Well, I believe that kind of challenge, especially if you have different parenting styles, it's a real challenge to be able to say, okay, what really is our goal? What's the goal? The goal is to get the kid to bed. Mm-hmm. How are we going to do this effectively, where over time it's going to be easier on us? So I do believe that we...
I think being a team, because they will sense a crack in the structure, and they'll go for it. They'll go divide and conquer if they know there's a weakness here. Sure. They're smart. They're so smart. I mean, I just felt very lucky, you know, having fought with Taylor all day, and then Kim would come home and be supportive. And I think it's hard for a lot of dads. They want to come home and they want to be Disneyland dad and do all the fun and not have the conflict, not have the pressure. Right. And yet mom has laid the groundwork, and then to have it sabotaged because dad wants to have fun. And, you know, Kim came home a lot of nights and it wasn't fun, and he helped me follow through.
Right.
I think once Taylor saw that, you know, that we were a team, even one time we both had communicated our philosophy to him, and out of the blue he said, "Wait, are you both in on this?" And we thought, as a matter of fact, we are both in on this. And he kind of realized, okay, I can't get in between you two on this.
Right.
Because a strong-willed kid will.
Sure. That, and a strong-willed child is also going to try to manipulate you by saying, you know what, you know, dad says it's okay or whatever, when dad really didn't say it was okay, but you're kind of thinking, what is dad thinking?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, they're smart.
Is manipulation a big deal in the world of strong-willed children?
Oh, extremely. I think that... manipulation is an attempt to get your own way, you know, and yet kids don't realize how divisive it is for a couple. And I think that a couple has to realize that, okay, they're going to attempt this. So we have to have a backup strategy of how to support each other. Gosh, that sounds really strange that dad would suggest that you could do this kind of behavior. Mm-hmm. Let me check it out with him.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there has to be a feedback mechanism of let me check it out. You know, you could be right. Dad might have let you do this, but let me just give him a quick call.
Right.
And following through on that way is really helpful,
right,
too.
Right, that really is helpful. I can't believe our time has gone by so fast, but I need to ask you, can I have you back tomorrow? And can we continue this? Because we've got to hear about Taylor. Mm-hmm. You know, we've left him as a kid who's struggling going up to bed, and we want to find out if he's okay.
Mm-hmm.
So can we have you back tomorrow?
Oh, we'd love to. Thank you.
Thanks so much.
And that concludes part one of Dr. Jim Burns' two-part conversation with Dr. Kim Storm and his wife, Anne, talking about their son, Taylor, who, ironically, later in life, I can give you a little hint, he did turn out okay because he interned for us at Homeward. He was a great guy to have around working in the studio with us. But we're talking about help for parents of strong-willed children. And if you missed any part of this program today, remember that we always stream audio at homeward.com. You can find it there in the archives. Jim, as we wrap up this program today, I know that you have a surprising revelation to share with our Homeward listeners. The audience today.
You know, Roger, I was a strong-willed child as well. And my wife was too, so we're kind of a family of strong-willed children, kind of raised on Dobson's strong-willed book. I remember reading that book at the beginning of our time with our daughter, Christy, who's a fabulous strong-willed kid. And I went, my goodness, I think some of this would have been helpful for my parents to read about
exactly,
me as well. Well, you know, Roger, that really is one of the reasons why I wanted to have Kim and Ann Storm on the program, to show us that there is help and there is hope for parents of strong-willed children. Well, the Storms have a great story to tell about how they helped their son Taylor really learn how to harness that strong will of his and use it to his advantage, rather than to keep wasting his time and energy butting heads with his mom and dad. Well, I'm glad that the Storms will be with us again tomorrow to finish telling their story. And in the moments remaining, I want to conclude our program with today's home word, and that word is perseverance. One of the most difficult things for a parent of a strong-willed child to do is to hang in there with that child, and that is exactly what the child needs. If you're the parent of a strong-willed child, well, you'll just have to be willing to go just that much further and to never quit on your son or your daughter. Now, you'll notice I didn't say keep arguing with him or her. On the contrary, this isn't a contest to see who can yell the loudest or pout the longest. No, your willingness to hang in there with your strong-willed child will give them the security they're looking for, and then you can begin to establish a line of clear communication that focuses on clearly outlined boundaries and expectations, and that's so important for a strong-willed child, and then the consequences that follow for either abiding by the rules or, hey, breaking them. Now, I highly recommend that you put those rules in writing and then have your son or daughter sign off on the fact that they're going to agree to follow those as well. In our resource center, we have a free tip sheet for you that outlines this code of conduct and what it looks like.
And it's absolutely free, as Jim mentioned. All you have to do is go to homeward.com, HOMEWORD.com, hit the articles and media section. And then when you do, the keyword box there, you can just write in code of conduct or Burns family code, and that tip sheet will come up. And then you can read it online. You can print it out. You can download it, do whatever you want to. But use that as a guideline, or just take that one verbatim. I've been to a couple of friends' houses where they actually have it. Just just posted on the side of the refrigerator there. This is what is expected in our home. You know, children really thrive in homes where the expectations are clearly defined and then constantly reinforced. And that's one of the things that kids appreciate in having confident parents. And if you want to be a more confident parent, you can order Jim's book, Confident Parenting. When you do, a portion of the proceeds goes to supporting the Ministry of Homeward, and we truly appreciate your financial support. For ordering information for the book, Confident Parenting, go to homeward.com. And now for Dr. Jim Burns, our engineer Ben Camp, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening. Join us again next time right here for another edition of Homeward, where parents get real answers. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.